Meeting to order, please. I'm opening the public hearing about the adjusted fiscal year 2023 operating and capital outlay budgets and the proposed fiscal year 2024 operating and capital outlay budgets. Is there anyone that would like to comment on these two budgets? That's unusual. You sure? Oh, she's not. No. All right, I'm closing the public hearing. I'd like to call the regular meeting to order now. Could we have a moment of silence, please? Okay, thank you. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
There. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Michelle, roll call. Holly, who? Holly?
Ronnie Bankhead.
Here.
Ivy Graham. Kathy DeGeneres.
Here.
Melissa Anderson.
Here.
Larry Davis.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Wendy Neal.
Here.
Francine Smith.
Here.
Abby Crosby.
Here.
Steve Bernard.
Here.
Ivy's not here.
Yeah, she's not.
Does anyone want to hear the minutes read from the last meeting? We need a motion to
make a motion. We accept the minutes as written.
Second. It's been moved and seconded.
Ronnie Holly? Bankhead.
Yes.
Ivy Graham. Kathy DeGeneres.
Yes.
Melissa Anderson.
Yes.
Larry Davis.
Yes.
Wendy Neal.
Yes.
Francine Smith.
Yes.
Abby Crosby.
Yes.
Steve Bernard.
Yes.
Now, are there any public comments on the agenda items? The two budgets. Okay. Good. All right, the director's report. Michelle.
Yes. We're going to run into the book festival, just to let you know how the festival went. It was amazing. We had over 2,200 people here. I think everybody left happy, and Eric Litwin was a major hit as our featured speaker.
Is that Pete the Cat?
Yes, that guy.
The line was to the other end of the library.
Yeah, it was. And everybody waited patiently, and they were happy. We had a petting zoo, and I'm looking at Kyla because she put it all together. So I wanted to also thank Kyla Robertson. She is our head of community engagement. She put the whole thing together with a little bit of help from the board. That she puts together of the staff that helps her with all the logistics and things like that. But she does an amazing job for us. And Comic-Con and the Book Festival are her babies, and she does a great job. We had an axe-throwing...
What?
Plastic axe.
Plastic axe. Not kids loved between that and the petting zoo. I don't think you can get them away from that. We had bouncy houses, face painting. Of course, we gave away books. We had Community Row that had SAD, which is the Students Against Destructive Decisions, and the state parks were here. It was an amazing day. So I know a couple of y'all got to come, and we really thank you for that. And hopefully next year will be bigger and better. We're always looking to be bigger and better. So.
How many authors did we have? Because that I was really impressed.
Close to 40.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah, it was a lot of authors.
We did.
Yeah, very impressive.
Cavalier Book House was here selling their books to help, you know, help the authors out so they didn't have to have truckloads of books with them. And they did an amazing day. We had Carpe Leaf Room, which was new. This year, what was new that we've never had before was food trucks. And we weren't sure how that was going to go over. But they sold out. The lemonade stand was popping the whole day. But for anyone who couldn't participate in that, we had free water, free cotton candy, free popcorn. It was a line all day. Ashton Gill was our featured performer. She was amazing. Everybody was, I mean, it was a great day. It was a beautiful day. And we hope that it's bigger and better. Let's go on to statistics. Always my favorite. So year-to-date stats, just to give y'all a little idea of where we are. Let me put my glasses back on before the person tells me about my health. Library visits for 2023 compared to 2022, we are up 28%. That's also in the back of y'all's your book if you want to look at it. In 2022, we were at 195,181. We're up to $250, I wish. Library visits. Computer usage stayed about the same. It was 2.5% difference, an increase. Our Wi-Fi usage went down a little bit, and I think that's because most people went back to work this year. There was a lot less, you know, people like working from home and working in the library with their laptops. Reference counts were up. That's questions asked to our staff for books and other things for other services. That went up 28%. Our total physical circulation only went up 1%, but that's still holding steady at 326,000 total physical circulated items for the whole library system, which is still pretty good. Adult collection is around 90,000 this year. That's up 1.5%. Another increase, though, is electric device circulation. That went up 25%. Let me hit some of the big ones at the top. So the Discovery Mobile, their location visits went up 122%. So we increased our visits for the year from 139 to 307 visits for the library.
It's also important to note, this is year-to-date statistics, so this is running through January through October. This doesn't include stuff.
So, it'll increase, buddy. Our children, of course, our youth collection circulation is always good to know. We're up 8% on that, and it's 149,000 this year, year-to-date. Study rooms have increased, especially with the increase of Watson now has a study room that they did not have, so that's up 3.5%. And the meeting room attendance is up 7.5%, so that just means more people are taking advantage of rooms like this to hold their meetings. Let's see. Next on our agenda. Do y'all have any questions about any of that?
Library future goals and services.
So the library future goals and services. Yeah, Dustin's going to read for us. He's got it out.
So the new library administration, we came up with five goals that we would like to proceed with going forward. Number one, first and foremost, we must continue to provide excellent service to our patrons and maintain our physical and electronic collections and resources, particularly given the current strains on the economy and the parish citizenry. Second, We must promote the library's business by partnering with other local government and community organizations to inform the citizenry of our resources and services and foster all forms of literacy within the parish. We will work together to lift and better the citizenry of Livingston. Third, we must expand outreach services to underserved areas in our community, including those physically unable to visit our branches and those who must travel 20 or more minutes to get to one. This could include the acquisition of a second bookmobile. Fourth, we must canvass the citizenry and evaluate the need to expand physical library locations in the parish, which could potentially include a sixth full-service library branch, smaller satellite branches, or book lockers. The community's needs and the public's voice are our priority. Fifth, we must endeavor to set an example not only regionally, but statewide and nationally for library usage, services offered, community immersion, and a reflection of Livingston Parish values. After all, it is a library of the community for the community.
Thank you.
So for new business, discussion of the library village and renewal, David and Dustin will handle that.
All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Well, as you see here, we have a PowerPoint slide presentation. This is kind of what we've had a series of community meetings just to let people know about the proposed millage renewal for the library. We've had one at each branch, so this is what we prepared just to kind of give people some information. So we will get started, if this works. There we are. Okay, so what is on the November 18th ballots? So as you all know, on November 18th, Livingston Parish voters will decide whether to extend an existing 10-year, 10 mil tax dedicated to acquiring, constructing, improving, maintaining, and operating the Livingston Parish Library. This is a renewal of a parish-wide property tax that has been on the books for nearly 30 years. And here's some check marks. This is not a new tax. This is the library's only dedicated funding, and this does not represent an increase in taxes paid. So it is the exact same millage that has been on the books since it was first approved in 1995. And some key dates, you can ignore the early voting dates because those no longer matter to us. So the key date is November 18th, this Saturday, and that is a sample ballot. That is what will appear on the ballots of Livingston Parish for this week.
I'm voting today.
So what your vote being? So a lot of people get confused by ballot language. I'm one of them. So we put down what your vote means. So a vote yes means that you are in favor of it. And if the majority of voters decide to extend the tax, that means the library's funding would be secure through 2035, allowing us to continue serving 120,000 plus patrons and generates about $6 million a year, which is more than 95% of the budget. And a vote no means you were not in favor of this, and if the majority of voters reject the tax renewal, the library could be unfunded by 2026, because currently the current millage will pay us through 2025. So that is if this is rejected and there's no other substitute millage put in place or voted on by the voters, then that is the reality we're facing. And then we wanted to give some people a history of the library. It opened in 1946. It was a demonstration library. 6,000 books to start. We now have millions if you include the electronic books. So that is much different than it used to be. It was the 24th parish in the state to establish some sort of library. It was in the courthouse. Was that you, Mr. Ron, who said that you remember the...
Going to the courthouse, yeah, a little room. So I remember the bookmobile, too.
Yeah. That's a picture. And that's kind of what this slide is about.
Who is it?
Before there was a dedicated funding or the 10 mil tax in 1995, there was a bunch of branches, but they were all kind of scattered, and they were mostly rooms. It wasn't like this. Like, this room might have been a branch before. And, you know, you had them kind of all over the place. It might have been half this room. You know what I mean? And that, you know, that's your books, checkout, everything. So... And in 1947 is when the voters first approved the a 3 mil tax, and this was what funded the library until 1995. This was what the library operated on. It allowed the library to at least grow from what it was when it was just in the courthouse, but at the same time, as you can see here, this next slide, 1970 was the first time that a building was built specifically to be a library. So before that, that 3 mil tax only was able to acquire rooms, essentially, to use for library spaces. and 1976 the bookmobile was retired until 2018, is that right, Michelle, when you were outreach manager, and that's when we unveiled the new bookmobile that makes now 300 visits a year.
That's right.
And then just some more history. 1990, the library began computerizing its card catalog. 2000, 24-hour online access. And then 2003, library upgrades a website and computer stations to allow residents to check their records and check out books from home. So, we were kind of, compared to other parents, maybe a little behind in that category, being able to check out from home. But we're there now. 1995 is when the system changed. And that's when voters approved the 10 mil 10-year property tax to fund the system for rising inflation. That is what voters will be voted on this Saturday. It's been renewed twice in 2005, 2014, an average of 74.5% in favor in both elections.
Wow.
And so the library today, now we occupy 5 state-of-the-art branches, totaling 90,000 square feet. We have 350,000 items in the physical collection, electronic collections in the millions, and there are roughly 122,000 cardholders, or 85% of the population in the parish. For a little bit of reference, the state average citizens to be cardholders is 53%. And even if you take out 26,000 for e-cards for students and teachers, we're at 67% still, which is still significantly higher than the state average. And then here's some visits from the previous 10 years, so none of the stuff that that was talked about today, but 3.1 million visits in the previous 10 years, or 160 a day, 17 million circulation or items that were checked out, or 11 per citizen a year, so 142,000 citizens average 11 a year. Then you have the database usage and the in-person and virtual programs, those statistics there. And then this is a number that I think really sums up a lot of it, and I have it in the packets that I passed out to y'all as well. Return on investment for just checkout items is $136 million over the previous 10 years for an average of $7.99 per item, which if you've ever checked out something like an audiobook, bought an audiobook, they're not $7.99, they're probably $30 or $40, depending on the book, and a hardcover book. I just bought one at Cavalier House of Books, the Sephora Liquor Bookstore, and that was $38. So that $7.99 is a very generous, conservative estimate, but that is what people have saved in the previous 10 years just on checkout items. And that doesn't include computer, Wi-Fi. We have free coffee at all the branches. So if you were to get a cup of coffee every month that you visit here, that's $1.85 that you save every time. $22 a year. And some major accomplishments, the state-of-the-art branches. And one thing to point out, this millage was passed to operate the system. There was a bond that was passed in 2003 to build the branches. So this is the item that voters are voting on this weekend is a separate issue than the bond that was passed in 2003 to build the branches. And that bond will be paid off in March.
In March?
Ooh,
and okay, good.
And so slashed overdue fines on all library accounts, launched the e-card program, which a lot of our schools use, unveiled the bookmobile, Discovery Mobile, one of the first libraries to fully adopt SB7. We actually, and that, for those who don't know, that is the law that was passed in the most recent session to give parents and guardians full control over what their children are allowed to check out at their local library. That was actually implemented in January, so months before they even went to session, and then put into the policy in July, and we're good to go for when that actually takes effect in January.
David, just one question. Mm-hmm. I know when it was first proposed, I wanted to go ahead and I made a motion to go ahead and start auditing our libraries to make sure we were in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the audience at the time, or the constituency at the time, gave some feedback, very passionate feedback, mm-hmm. on not adopting that because it was not written into law. I think even an employee said,
yeah,
why do we need to waste taxpayer dollars on something that may not pass? But now the tone is that we were already in compliance in January following this law?
We were in compliance with the tiered card system. Now, that law doesn't require us to do a full audit.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's something that we could do, and we could take it upon ourselves
just to make sure, we're in compliance with the full state laws.
The state law has to do with the tiered card system. The state law doesn't require us to do the audit. That's something if we, like how we put the tiered card system in place before it was even voted on in the session, we were ahead of the game on that. So that is something that, could be an audit, could be broached in the future, but that's not something that SB7 requires us to do.
And just to clarify a little bit, since you're asking about it too, the policy that we implemented in July, because the tiered card system was approved and we went ahead with that in January, that was for the process for appeals for book challenges. We didn't have anything in that in policy, and we had already worked on it in the background, and then we presented it to you guys in July and passed it, and we got it. So we should be good to go for what will soon to be Louisiana Revised Statute 25225.
Awesome.
All right. Is it a computer lab, idea lab? Just back to the accomplishments. If you didn't see that the Denham branch was recognized as the runner-up for favorite library branch in the system behind the Goodwood Library, which I live in EBR, and the Goodwood Library is amazing. They also have a $50 million.
Right.
So, it'll outmatch there with our $6 million. But, hey, to be recognized with a branch of that size. And we actually finished ahead of Ascension, which their budget is also probably twice as big as ours,
yes,
or something like that. And even though they have less citizens, but, Ascension has more money. Then greatly expanded our programs, such as Comic-Con, Book Festival, and Summer Reading. Like I said, they had 2,200 at Book Fest. And then 1,600 is over at Comic-Con. And that's also, I feel like one day that's going to overtake Book Festival, especially if we move it outside, because that's the mode. When I would cover that with a paper, that was the craziest day of the library calendar to me. So frequently asked questions, how important is this tax? Well, this is this supplies the revenue for everything the Livingston Parish Library accomplishes. There is not a substitute funding for this millage. We get very little in state and federal funding, and we have on our, I have those QR codes up there. But if you look on there, we have a, we show what Livingston gets compared to the state and national averages for local revenue per capita, state revenue per capita, and federal. We're below in all three categories. So we make the most with what we have, but this is what we have, and without it, we can't do anything.
That doesn't include grants.
The federal revenue?
No, just like grants that are given out. Do we go after grants?
We do.
We do
grants, but those are very competitive. Mm-hmm. When we get them,
and you don't know that you're always going to get them.
We don't know that we're going to get them.
Right.
And we don't know what's going to be offered every year, and if it's even something, because to apply for a grant and to It's a difficult process. Not that we don't do it and we don't like to do it, we love to do it, but to comply with those also is a hefty job. So if we're going to go after a grant, it's going to be something that we're really passionate about, because grant money is very specific. Like, we can't take grant money and use it for anything else. So it has to be something we really are passionate about getting and using and doing, because those... And it's not guaranteed. And we're in the running with a lot of libraries that want it too. So.
And for an example, we are going after one this December for a generator for our admin.
Don't jinx us, David. All we will say is we're pursuing a Louisiana Endowment for Humanities grant at this time. Stop it. Don't jinx us, baby.
So to try to get money, but for a specific purpose that would be.
There's potential for it.
There's potential. But that is not dedicated. That is the difference. The only dedicated is that property.
And the fact that they are specific to what they're for. It's not like we can use them to buy books or pay salaries. So that's the only drawback to grants. But we do go after them, and we like to get them.
Yeah. For example, the iPads we're offering right now, that's from federal grant.
Yeah.
But that's only dedicated for iPad purchases. You cannot use for anything else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how much does this generate? Like we said, $6 million a year, roughly. And I know a lot of people see that On the ballot, it says expected to generate 6.8, but we, with uncollectibles, you never see the full amount, so we budget, you know, 5 up to 7% less than what we're projected to receive. So you get that from the assessor's office every year, what your millage is projected to bring you in revenue, but when we do the budget, it's always 7% less than what that is.
Been that way. People don't pay tax.
And then, so what does this fund? It funds all the costs associated with operating a library system that serves 120,000 plus patrons. And there you go. That's a bunch of stuff. So we got equipment and facility maintenance upgrades for our 5 branches, administrative office and bookmobile, salaries and benefits for nearly 100 employees, maintenance for the computers, all our technology and technology rooms, access to Wi-Fi, computers, laptops, tablets, printing, 3D printing, copying and faxing, physical and electronic collections, our programs, and our community events, which, you know, those cost money to put on, but it is for the community. And, you know, that was the cool thing about Book Festival is you saw all the, like, that petting zoo had a line around it literally the entire day. I mean, a line of 20 deep the whole day. The cotton candy and popcorn line was steady. And if you've gone to a fair recently, that could easily cost you $10 a kid for some cotton candy and popcorn. If you got 4 kids, that's $40 right there, and that's not fun. So, and then here's just
David, I'd like to make a comment on the 100 employees. We're understaffed.
Well, yes, we are understaffed. Yes,
but at our peak and at our
well, we should be operating at is 100.
Should be close to
100. And here's just some projections. So if you know, this is all estimates. So if your house is valued at $100,000, that means your 10 mills will cost you $25 a year, or less than the cost of one hardcover book. $150,000, less than one cup of coffee per week. $200,000, less than one. Actually, I needed to change this. I forgot because of how expensive a 20-ounce bottle of Diet Coke is now. That is, when I go buy them, that is like $240-something. So that's actually, I buy much more than one a week. So, yeah, that is $125 a year. If your home is $250,000, $175 a year, less than one standard Netflix monthly subscription, not even for each one. So.
David, is that in here?
No, that's not. That's on PowerPoint.
I want a copy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then future goals, Mr. Kahn explained that a little bit.
That's a
but and we should keep in mind that all future goals, depending on what happens after this Saturday, any new things we would do, we would canvass the community to see what they want. So it's not like Millage is successful and then we're saying, okay, we're going to do this. 6 branch with a performing arts center. No, we're going to canvass the community to see what they actually want. That's just an idea that we have because we can provide those kind of services, but ultimately it would be up to the citizens what they want from their library.
Yeah, and then just to back up David here, I've already worked on a patron community survey draft to canvass people on physical location expansion if they want that, outreach expansion, digital collections, community engagement, branch hours, and then what is the most important service for them that they get out of it, and what is the least important service. So it'd be a small condensed electronic survey that would be easy to take, and then we would do in-person community events, try to get people input.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are some of the future goals, and that one adding a nature trail on the South Branch is a very popular one. Miss Melissa, I know that's your area, and that's something that people have been talking about for a while.
Just the other day, in the 444 Highway 444 Facebook group, somebody was saying, "Hey, is there anywhere around here where you can safely go
that.
Walk?" And so I said, "Oh, well, the South Branch is fixing to put in." I mean, the comments that came in that they are so excited because we have nothing on our end of the parish. There's no parks, there's nothing. Once you cross the highway, I mean the interstate, I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, there's one for it that has a wall feature.
Does it? Where is it?
At Coyale.
Coyale.
Okay, Coyale's got one? Yeah. Good.
And you know, this is our mission statement. The Books of Paris Library has proven to be a well-managed steward of public funds with a mission to provide all members of the community with the resources and programs necessary to fulfill their informational, educational, recreational, and cultural needs. As the community's primary resource for lifelong learning and literacy, the Books of Paris Library strives to provide a wide range of information and materials using traditional and innovative services to enrich the lives of our patrons, spark curiosity, inspire new ideas, and foster intellectual growth. And this is kind of what we've been, the moniker we've taken. We are a library of the community for the community, and that's pretty much been the case since 1946. This community has supported its library system since then, and except we want to be a reflection of the community. And I know, like I said, I'm from EBR, so I'm one of the few, but most of the people who work in the system live in Livingston Parish. They went to school in Livingston Parish, their families are from here, they go to church here. This is their home, so this is very much a community library system. So that is it for me. So there we go. Any questions about that? Or
very good, man.
Good work, Dave.
Yeah,
good work.
All right. Yep, very good. Where are we, Michelle?
So to approve the adjusted 2023 operating capital outlay project budgets, we went over the 2023 amended budget last meeting. It really has not changed. We didn't amend too much of anything. Everything pretty much stayed the same. So it's about the same budget that y'all saw the last meeting. I will say that we amended down a few things just because we know that we're not going to see some of that, which is going to be some of the capital outlay projects that would have gotten done in this budget will probably, I know, will come out of the next budget because of just the time frame of them being finished, like the South Branch Trail. So that would be amended down for this year and then added to next year because that final paycheck will come out of that budget along with the addition of the Albany carpet replacement. They will probably start that in this fiscal year, mm-hmm. but it will be next fiscal year for it. So that would be the only major adjustment that we made. And the vehicle. We're still looking for a good vehicle that's not, $60,000. So that will be purchased hopefully in January. And that's also something we had talked about last meeting. So if y'all are okay with the 23 operating budget and capital budget, y'all just need to okay that, and then we can move on to the 2024 operating.
I just have three questions, Michelle.
Sure.
What is considered a key position that you have not yet hired for yet?
Right now, you're still looking for a manager for this branch. We have two positions open in community engagement. That would be like a liaison between Kyla and the youth and adult services.
Yes, ma'am.
We definitely have to have another outreach person just because of the sheer number of outreaches we're doing. And then that's the key.
Okay.
Those are the keys. And then we have some, just full-time staff that never got replaced and some part-time staff that we still have. Like this branch in particular needs two part-time people. Watson still needs their two now because they have one that's retiring positions. We always have an influx of.
And how many full-time employees do we have?
Right now, I think we're at 85.
That's total.
But that's not full-time. That's not full-time. That's total staff. I'm sorry.
Total staff. That'll
total
work.
Total staff.
That it, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the adjusted budget. Is that the correct one?
For 2023.
Fiscal year 2023 operating and capital outlay and projects budget.
I second. It's been moved and seconded.
Bonnie Binkhaus?
Yes.
Ivy Graham?
Yes.
Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Larry Davis?
Yes.
Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Francine Smith?
Yes.
Abby Crosby?
Yes.
Steve Bernard?
Yes.
And then we're going to move into the 2024 operating and capital outlay projects. So the biggest change for 2024, if you look at the property and tax revenue, we are projected, according to the assessor's office, to get $4.8 million. basically. But when you take out the uncollectibles, we're looking at more like $6.4 million. Then the state revenue sharing, which is the little bit of money we do get from the state library, usually runs about $150,000. This year they are projecting a little more at about $179,000. After that, I want just to, I know that not all of y'all have been on the board before, so just so you know, right off the top, after we take off uncollectibles, almost $300,000 comes out before we even see it for the pension. Mm-hmm. That's not something we have any control over, so that comes out on top. And the only major increase this year is going to be to the salaries, and not so much even the salaries, but it's the benefits themselves, because our health insurance went up a little over 19% this year.
Who do we have insurance for?
Blue Cross Blue Shield. So we do every year talk to, we have an insurance agent, basically, broker, who looks for insurance companies for us. Oh, let me see if I have their paper. I don't think I have it with me. Let me see if their name is on this one. Yes, I think it was the chat, but I wasn't sure. No, it's Gallagher. I think it's Gallagher. Okay. I'll make sure. But anyway, so they do collect those for us, and this year we only had two candidates. One was United Healthcare, and the other was Blue Cross Blue Shield. They were the only ones that would give a quote this year, and they were so close, and we already had Blue Cross Blue Shield that we stayed with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay.
And it's, so just to give you a perspective, last year we did not have an increase at all in our health insurance, but this year they got slammed. So that's where you will see the major increase. We do budget for cost of living raises and merit increases as they're needed, so that's a little bit of an increase in the salaries, and the budget is for full staff. So if we are still not fully staffed, then that budget will not, of course, be amended as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. But right now it is budgeted for full staff.
Mm-hmm. That it?
I'll make a motion to approve the adjusted fiscal year 2024 operating and capital outlay project.
Yeah, but Larry's
which sheet would we own, Michelle?
So that one would be, it looks like it should have like a big green. This is your line item. This is everything broken down line item, and you can see where it's from last year amended. Original adopted, amended, what we are year to date, and then the proposed budget for 2024.
Okay, so one of the questions I have as I was looking over it, like if we look at the gas.
Yes.
The, that was at our vehicle and gas, I think in fiscal year 2023 budgeted, that was adopted, was $10,611. And it says that was amended to stay the same, $10,611. But the actual year-to-date usage of that was about $4,000. And you're requesting $10,000 to remain for the fiscal year 2024. So my first question about that is, why don't we, like, instead of, I get, like, you need some of that wiggle room.
Right.
But why are we asking for the same amount when we can, you know, instead of 10, maybe you actually need 6? Or 5.
Well, especially with gas and electricity, it's just there's a lot of variance there. Again, my first budget, so I went with what Giovanni or the previous administration had done on that, just because they had more experience with that than I do, and just with the fluctuation costs within the last 6 months of gas and electricity. We've seen a decrease in electricity this month, but last month it was, you know, $5,000 to
Eaton. Well, that's one. It's just noticing just a lot of variances, even with the toner. The
right.
Toner, you requested $1,074. It was amended to $1,074. Actual year-to-date cost was about, I don't know if that's $50. I'm pretty sure it's $50. And you're requesting $1,074 again for 2024. So it's a lot of those, like, just wide variances that maybe we can kind of...
Right, and we've gone with another copier company, so we're not exactly sure what they are going to cover when it comes to toner and things like that, and how expensive theirs are going to be.
Okay.
I mean, it's just inflation also. Just to make sure that I don't have... So then I have to So then we'll have to amend down or amend up as the year goes on, mm-hmm. just to stay within that 5% for the legislative auditor one way or the other. It's just, you know, cross the T's and making sure that I'm not, under budgeting, and I don't have to come to y'all several times to amend budget either. I'd rather amend down than amend up.
Can we, before we go through these, can we get a copy of the 90 days before saying what it was, 2 years prior, and then the guesstimates of what it's going to be and everything, instead of trying to figure out, there's a sequence to this of how much it's going up. Like the 20%, we didn't see it last year, but we can go ahead and say, well, if it's going to be up 20%, then we go ahead and we allocate for that. But then some things, like you said, were way more than 20%. So we could bring that budget down a little bit. You understand?
Yeah, but I mean, if I could have done that with some bills if y'all would have asked me before the meeting.
Right.
But we have to vote on this budget today to get ready for January.
Okay.
I mean, if we want to look at that for
this
January.
This is just for here.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind. You can come see QuickBooks with me anytime you want. But, yeah. And I did budget way more conservatively because, first budget, didn't want to have, upset the auditor. Mm-hmm. And I also would rather amend down than amend up.
It's there.
At any point in time.
Anybody else have any questions?
No, do I need to make another motion, or is that...
Did you say it? Well, make another one.
Okay. I make a motion that we approve the adjusted fiscal year 2024 operating and capital outlay project budget.
Second?
I second.
Ivy, second. It's been moved and seconded.
Ronnie Mantas?
Yes.
Ivy Graham?
Yes.
Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Larry Davis?
No, ma'am.
Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Francine Smith?
Yes.
Abby Crosby?
No, ma'am.
Steve Bernard?
Yes.
Okay, the next item is to put the dedicated funds to the capital project. So this, might answer some of your questions in this, Abby's. Whenever we have, it's never an overage because those will be allocated to capital outlay projects we know that are coming up. We just today have a leak at the roof of Albany Springfield, so we are going to have to replace some of the roof. So anything that is left when we amend down will go toward, this is where y'all are agreeing to, is to dedicate those to those capital outlay projects so that we do not have to go to the voters and say, we need a bond for this or we need this. We have been able to pay as we go because of this. Not maybe so much, what you're saying, I agree, no, I understand, but being able to amend down and save some of that money to go toward these projects is very important so that we don't have to ask for, we've never had to ask for any more money. So that is what you would agree to at this point. If there's anything left over from the year, that would go toward those capital outlay projects that have to be done. Like now, probably a roof of an Albany Springfield we didn't have to do. No, we had to do something else that's coming up for next year that's very important that has to get done is the retaining wall at Albany Springfield branch. The soil is eroding, and we can't risk the risk of that slab cracking. So that has to be done next year, which is going to be a hefty budget. We don't even know exactly what that's going to cost yet because that's going to be moving dirt and that kind of thing.
So what this item says is any money excess in the budget will be redirected towards...
Right.
Right. Yeah, y'all are giving me the permission to move that money into the capital outlay.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion to dedicate the funds to the capital projects if there's any excess money in the budget.
I second.
Who second? Okay. It's been moved and seconded.
All right. Connie Bankhouse?
Yes.
Ivy Graham?
Yes.
Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Larry Davis?
Yes.
Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Francine Smith?
Yes.
Abby Crosby?
Yes, ma'am.
Steve Bernard?
Yes.
Pass.
All right, the last item on the agenda, and we do this every November, is to elect the board president.
No, we got one. E.
Everyone.
E.
I almost forgot. Okay, so every year, y'all know we have to do a legislative audit. There's a list of auditors that are provided to us by the So, Ms. Margaret and her team with Baxter have completed our audit for the last few years with Baxley and Associates. I'm sorry. Usually I have a contract for y'all, but she has been ill the last couple of weeks and she's been on vacation. So when she gets back from that for the January budget, I will have that contract for y'all. But this is basically just giving me permission to rehire her to do what she's been doing, which is to do our audit for us for the legislative auditor.
Any questions on that?
What's the details? What details do you know? Salary?
So last year it ran us about, because we have to pay for that, we have to pay for the legislative auditor to audit us. Ran us about $19,000. So I'm assuming with a 15% increase, if she does that, would run us about $22,000.
Okay, and she's been our legislative auditor for how long?
I think she's done it the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Three or four years.
She's good.
She's very good. She.
I like the book.
Legislative auditor.
Yeah, she's
amazing, and she
she's
is
very good.
Does she do other entities in the parish as well?
Huh? She does other entities in the parish. She is the closest to a student, that she doesn't live in this parish. She is one of the closer auditors that we could get. So yeah, she's very nice, and she's very strict, and she's very thorough. And I love her, but boy, that it was 6 months of my life that I think I got gray hair. So.
She did great.
She did. She did a good job. The book was good.
So that is so if y'all will agree that I can go ahead and get her services, and then you.
Is this another motion? I make a motion that we approve her contract for the next audit.
Second.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. Holly.
Ronnie Bingham?
Yes.
Ivy Graham?
Yes.
Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Larry Davis?
Yes, ma'am.
Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Francine Smith?
Yes.
Abby Trosby?
Yes, ma'am.
Steve Bernard?
Yes.
Okay. Now, insane. the election of the LP Board of Control Officers for 2024.
I make a motion that we had to nominate Mr. Bencast to be the president again. He's done an excellent job, and he is a wonderful person, and brings a very calming influence, I think, to the proceedings.
I second. You're stuck.
I'll make a substitute motion that we postpone until after January 8th, until the new council has been sworn into office.
And why would we do that?
Because councilmen have been elected and changed.
Okay, but that doesn't change our board. Our board is all in place until 2028, except for Ms. Melissa will be up. At the pleasure of the council, but they have to have a reason to replace the board.
They do not. That was the AG's opinion back in January. But it's a substitute motion. It's on the floor, and it needs a second. But that's my opinion, that it should wait.
All right, we have a motion, a substitute motion. Any second? Didn't pass. Okay. We have another motion on the floor. You want to make it again?
Oh, I got to make it again?
I don't know.
I make a motion.
He just wants to hear you brag on him again.
I make a motion to nominate the wonderful Mr. Bencast as president for another year.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. They want me. Holly?
Twice.
Ronnie Bencast?
Yes.
Ivy Graham?
Yes.
Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Larry Davis?
I abstain.
Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Francine Smith?
Yes.
Abby Crosby?
Yes.
Steve Bernard?
Yes.
And then for the election of the vice president.
I make a motion to nominate Ivy Graham to be our vice president.
I'll second.
Any questions? It's been moved and seconded.
All right. Ms. Kathy, you got a second.
Yes, Ms. Kathy.
Yeah.
Holly.
Ronnie Mankas.
Yes.
Ivy Graham.
Yes.
Kathy DeGeneres.
Yes.
Melissa Anderson.
Yes.
Larry Davis.
No.
Wendy Neal.
Yes.
Francine Smith.
Yes.
Abby Crosby.
Yes.
Steve Bernard.
Yes, because Ivy's awesome.
I'm supposed to be a secretary.
She's the secretary. I'm sorry, Ivy.
Okay. That's all that matters.
Give her the build up.
It's just the way it is. It's always been that way. The director's always been.
He handled it for you. He got that.
Well, I've never actually had a conversation with Ivy. I'm sorry. I didn't give you the build up that I gave Mr. Bankmaster.
It's okay.
It's quite all right.
Huh? Well, anybody got anything else?
Nope.
All in favor of adjourning, stand up.
Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving and
yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. And a happy new year.
Yeah.
I'll take you, book.
Half of it will be open.
Yeah. So the
okay.
the